Ryan Scott, welcome to the NorCal Names podcast. We have a fabulous slash scary slash wonderful friend in common. So thanks to Dan Gordon for making this inauspicious connection.
That's the worst intro I've ever heard.
Right? Radio person to radio person.
I love it.
Listen.
Love it. So great to talk to you.
I read about a day in the life of Chef Ryan Scott. You start at 4:30 in the morning and you end at midnight. And my math says that you sleep freaking 4.5 hours. You give me palpitations.
I don't even give it four. I'll take like a mid-afternoon nap sometimes with a half if I can. And then it pretty much is, 2 or 3 hours.
God.
I'd like to consider myself like the Rock Dwayne Johnson and say that my arms are ginormous, which they're not. He operates on 3 or 4 hours a day. And I just try to keep a clean mind, and I work out really hard, and I work really hard, and I try not to have distractions. Sometimes vodka gets in the way.
Well, but, as it is wont to do. Go on.
Yeah, but especially with Dan Gordon like me, then his beer gets in the way.
Right.
But, I just don't believe in being lazy. And I don't know where it came from. I don't know how it happened with my family. But my sister's a doctor. My brother's a fireman and an EMT, and my mom still works for me today in my company, even though she's retired. And it's just something in the Scots. I don't know what we do, but I 80, 90 hours a week is normal for me.
Good Lord. And you're clearly the slacker with, an Emmy Award-winning TV show, Food Rush, your radio show.
Two of them.
Yeah. The cookbook, which I'm going to buy tomorrow because I'm very busy and I like good food. And Fintown, your restaurant in the Castro. I don't even know where to start. So you're from Modesto.
I was born in Modesto. Born in Doctor's Hospital, 1979, November 1st at 5:26 p.m.
Wow, that's very specific. Well, happy birthday when that rolls around next time around. Did you cook as a kid?
I did. My parents, so I was born in Modesto, and until like second grade, I think, or first, maybe it's first grade, we moved to a little town called Oakhurst. Mm-hmm. Oakhurst is up by, when you're talking to somebody in the valley, when you do so many damn interviews, I'm always like, so I see California with a state behind them because I don't know where I'm at. So we moved up to Oakhurst, California. I still can't get out of doing that. And because my dad was a produce manager for Tom Raley at Raley's Supermarket.
Oh, yes. How awesome.
And Tom called him one day on a dial phone in our house in Modesto with my dad on the cord all the way down the hallway trying to, be quiet about it. And Tom said, go up to Oakhurst and run the produce section at the Raley's up there. And we moved. And that was, I remember, 5 and 6, going and seeing my father and, learning that potatoes have 1,000 varietals and noticing that during summer, tomatoes were so different and that corn, when it's not frozen in a bag, is sweet and delicious during spring and summer. And I remember him handing me a kumquat for the first time, and if you've never heard that word before, I did not say a sexual word. It's a little, small, little delicious citrus,
right.
And it's phenomenal.
Uh-huh.
And so I popped, my dad's like, yeah, eat it. Eat it whole, eat the skin. And I ate it, and you would have thought that I ate a whole pack of Sour Patch Kids. And I remember at that moment just being floored by food. And I would say at 5 and 6, I was just, trying to cook all the time with my mom, playing with dried herbs on bread when my mom would make garlic bread. At 9, oddly, this sounds really weird, they thought one or two things. They thought either my son is gay, which is not a bad thing,
mm-hmm.
or he wants to really be a chef, because I was playing with my sister's Barbie car and I asked for a food dehydrator.
Beautiful.
Because, yeah.
I want a dehydrator.
Remember Ron Popeil, right? Remember them, that
sure, absolutely.
Guy would stay up at nighttime and either sell you fake hair that sprays into bald spot on your head that was coming from some swab can that he put his name on.
Yep.
Or telling you that you can literally dehydrate your cat, your dog, in a food dehydrator. That man was the first billionaire selling infomercials. So.
Right. So it was either apricots or cats, but you could do any of the above in the Ron Popeil's.
Hint, hint, we didn't have cats. So
there's that. Right.
That's a whole other story. Yeah. So, at 10, I asked for a walk because I would literally come home. I never watched cartoons. And I would watch Great Chefs of America on Discovery. And remember when they would ad-lib on the bottom in French, and the French guys that are cooking the kitchen, and I would just watch it. I watched Julia Child.
Ugh.
And I fell in love with this guy named Martin Yan.
Yes.
Martin's been on PBS for 40 years.
Love it.
The biggest honor today is Martin's a very close friend of mine.
Yan can cook.
I went to his house one day, and I said, we're in his backyard, and he has a koi pond. And I looked at him, I said, this may seem weird, but I said, I owe a lot to you. And I said, thank you for just being genuine.
Mm.
Because I believe today, and especially with radio and especially with television today, it's saturated in a market where people tell you what to be. And it forced people into this mold that they don't exist in. And that's why Food Rush is successful today, because of people like Martin Yan and what you do on radio and how I live my model. Real,
mm-hmm.
Authentic is something that you can't buy. It's just who you are. And I looked at Martin and I grabbed him, and he got really scared. And because he's small.
Yes.
And I just said, thanks, man. I said, thank you for allowing me to be the chef I am today, because you have an intricate part of it. And then we drank.
Of course.
So
cheers. Chin chin. Well, so you happen to, Oakhurst is Bay Area adjacent, but you are a chef in one of the culinary capitals of the world, A. And B, you have a restaurant, which is no small feat in a town where I think I read someplace where if you ate at a different restaurant from, from the little dives to the finest restaurants, it would take you something like 2 years to eat your way through every restaurant in San Francisco.
Sure.
And
sure.
You're rocking at what, 3 years now?
Yeah, I just hit 3.
Sweet.
My catering company just hit 11, which is just a feat on its own. Self, fully supported and sustained by me doing television and building crew. I mean, my sous chef in my catering company has been with me 11 years since the day I opened it.
That's awesome.
And then we opened another concept this year called Boom Chicka Cow. Boom Chicka Cow is an online-driven, no storefront, delivery only hamburger, chicken sandwich, and vegan hamburger concept. If you would have told me 20 years ago that I would open a restaurant that doesn't have a restaurant, that doesn't have a storefront, I would say, first of all, what's the internet?
Right.
Second of all, you would think it's not genius, but it's about cross-utilizing staff. It's about cross-utilizing product. At the same time, paid attention to Gen X. I mean, millennials mm-hmm. are the wave of the future. They are our future, scary as it is. And, and at the same time, we have to pay attention to them. They want instant gratification. They want mm-hmm. something without going somewhere. They want that delicious bite at their doorstep in less than 11 minutes. And I built that concept. I think that's what I love about today is you're allowed to be creative. And, if you believe it and if you dream it and if you want it, and you got a couple pennies to rub together,
mm-hmm.
you should do it, because there's nothing worse than asking what if. And I never go to bed saying, damn, I should have done that. You know what I do? I say, damn, I did it, and now I need to find
now what? Yes. Okay, so let's take that another step further, Chef, because I'm sure I get people talking to me. They say, well, people tell me I have a great voice and should be in radio, and you just kind of look at them and go, what about the people who say, A, I want to be a chef, and B, I want to open a restaurant? Neither of those is easy. Both of them together is pretty hellacious. So what do you say to people who want your advice on a pretty gnarly subject?
I mean, I look at a lot of markets today. I mean, radio is volatile. 8 years I've been doing radio on KGO now
mm-hmm.
in San Francisco, and that's a volatile market. I mean, tech is a volatile market. In any day, anything that we do could be taken away from us.
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing you can't take away from somebody is dreams. So if you truly go to bed, and single or not, partner or not, boyfriend, girlfriend, whoever it is that you're with, husband and wife, and you can't stop thinking about this career path, then I always tell people, then devote a year. Devote 1 year. Keep your 9-to-5 job or 6-to-5 or whatever it is mm-hmm. radio that you're doing. Go and find that restaurant in your town that just sparks your imagination and just you're so intrigued to see Jose or Ryan or Don Pepe in the back of that kitchen making pasta
mm-hmm.
from scratch and ask him to work for free
oh.
every single weekend for a year. So I tell people that because they're like, work for free? You don't understand. Minimum wage is minimum wage. That's the starting wage that you get into the culinary career. You're going to be literally eating ramen, even though you work 7 days a week and you're going to be eating ramen because that's all you can afford. A passion is a passion project. And there's a lot of emotional maturity is the key to success. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to put in your time. You have to learn to turn to burn to be able to be somebody. And, you know, it doesn't happen overnight. I mean, if you look at it, there's one Beatles in our lifetime. There's one Jamie Oliver in our lifetime.
Yep, yep.
There is one. Think about whatever it is that you like. There's only one breakthrough in a decade or two or three or four decades. So think about why people mostly succeed in their late 30s and 40s, because it's called doing time.
Mm-hmm.
It's putting time in. It's learning and respecting your craft. If that's with a radio mic, or if that's with a television in front of you, or a camera in front of you, or a writer,
mm-hmm.
you have to respect it. So I say devote a year. If you work for free for a year and you go home and tell your partner, damn, I'm the happiest I've ever been working for free 2 days a week, I want to go into this, I would say then look into schools. Vocational schools are inexpensive. You're going to turn around and spend 18 months in a school. I would say work full-time, go to school, and try not to spend $80,000 for a Johnson & Wales or something. Because mm-hmm. to tell you the truth, Modesto has an amazing culinary school.
How about that?
That's not that expensive. Fresno, California has one that's not that expensive. And also just the School of Hard Knocks and learning under somebody that you respect is the best education you could ever get.
So you went to the California Culinary Academy, and I remember back in the day when I lived in the city, they had brunches where the students would serve these amazing kick-ass brunches, and the teachers would come and make sure that they were pouring the champagne properly, and the presentation was amazing, and those people went on to do amazing things. Give me a definition. I think I know because I asked people. I think a lot of people don't know the actual definition of what a chef is. It's not just cooking. It's the business side as well, correct?
Yeah, I say a true chef is somebody that, you can cook, but the chops are with the math. The chops are in the books. The chops are food costs, labor costs, rent costs, you just name it.
Mm-hmm.
When you actually get the title, it's so funny, a lot of people always say, what's it like to be a chef? I mean, I don't cook anymore. I literally, the only time you see me cook is I cook for my daughter this morning at 7 a.m.
What'd you make her?
I made her roasted salmon.
I made her ground
turkey. I made her some curried quinoa, and I did some baby fingerling potatoes and a couple other things. I do enough to where my nanny can, like, change it up.
Jeez.
I'm that D-bag that has a nanny that cooks for him.
Well, I'm beyond the nanny. I'm about the 7-year-old with her quinoa and her salmon and her curry. Are you up for adopting a 50-something? Never mind.
I've seen a photo of you. You're gonna adopt. I'll adopt you anytime, girl.
Bring it, baby.
Bring it on.
So you are
bring the baggage.
I know. What is it? Tons of luggage, industrial American tourister, emotional baggage. But it's all good.
Don't we all have it?
Of course we do. Does your wife cook?
I'm a Scorpio.
Oh, and me too. Oh,
God.
Oh, dear. Well, we'll have to.
Great interview. Nice talking to you.
Bye. And we're back. You answered the question. You don't cook so much. Does your wife cook? Why the hell would she? But does she?
No, my wife is I cook for her and my nanny and my daughter, and then it's a reheat game for them.
Mm-hmm.
My wife will cook every once a month if she kind of gets a spark to do it. But there's roles in relationships, and
mm-hmm.
My mom always told me when I married my wife, I married late in my 30s, mid 30s, which is a great thing because, I got to see life and I understood that when somebody really knocks you off your chair and gets your attention, it's actually real. You're not 22.
Right.
And I think that was the greatest thing about falling in love with my wife is, we understand our roles. My wife cuts, writes the checks and does the bills, and I cook and go grocery shopping, and she makes sure that we have cleaner in underneath the sink, and we just understand each other, and I get her palate and she understands mine, and my wife busts her ass like crazy. She works for Google. She drives 4 hours a day round trip from our house.
Oh, geez.
And the last thing I think she ever wants to do, because I remember cooking for my mother was a chore.
When you had to, yes.
You had to do it. It's something you can't get away from. And I don't want it to ever be a chore, because what I can do in a half an hour is what takes some people 3 or 4 or 5 hours to do. And I just need to use my craft to make sure that we have the best ingredients. And I tell people this because, the economy is the way the economy is today. And, you eat organics. I said, if you consume the flesh, spend the money, because you are literally digesting things that you need to know what it is. So if you don't eat zucchini skin, then don't buy organic zucchini. then if you don't eat an apple skin and you peel it because you can't digest it, then don't buy an organic. But you got to remember that, especially coming from the Valley,
right,
we have to support. And remember this, when you're buying cheap strawberries, you're buying cheap labor. I want to support people that support right practices. I want to support people that pay above minimum wage for field workers and give them a comfortable place. So when you pay $3.69 for Driscoll strawberries without, by the way, this is not a promotion, is doing right practices.
Mm-hmm.
And just remember that.
It
remember
matters.
That when you get that chicken breast that's the size of your foot, you should question that. You really should question that. And we need to have people stop doing this. We need to stop having inhumane practices going on. And if you ever want to scare yourself, go watch a video about how animals are butchered, not in a halal form or in a certified butcher shop.
Mm.
And it's a game changer. But remember, you're paying for that guy that has family behind the counter that's busting and breaking down that flank steak, that knows that the flank came from Petaluma, California. There's stories behind our food. And even if you don't cook it, you can support it and buy it.
Yeah, and maybe not in other places in the country, but shame on anybody here, as you put it, in the Central Valley or in any part of the California region. New York has a completely different definition, in my opinion, of what a tomato tastes like versus what our options here, 13, 14, 15 different varieties at different times a day.
Sure.
Cookbook 1-5, efficient, not lazy. Sign me the hell up.
Yeah.
I saw one recipe, mozzarella stuffed crispy portobello burgers. Dear God. And this is stuff you can make in, less than an hour?
Yeah, there's a couple dishes that are braised in there. But when I say braised, I pull out the slow cooker. Because, look, at the end of the day, when you're cooking today, we all are crazy families that are going nuts. And maybe we're a single person that bought an Instapot and wants to kick ass and just have great meals and is tired of eating out of styrofoam containers. This is literally written for everybody. After I did Top Chef in 2006, I was approached many times about doing a book, and this goes back to people forcing things down your throat to be something. And all the books were like, you're really cute. You should do like Alton Brown and do some scientific stuff. And I said, I graduated high school with a 2.9. There's no damn way that I am going to write a scientific book, let alone try to write a book. So here's the deal. No, thank you. So finally, the publishers over at Oxmoor House and Time Inc. approached me. And they're the first publishers in a dozen that approached me and said, we would like you to write the book that you want to write. And I said, I want to write a book that reminds me of my mom cooking in Oakhurst, California. Mm. And she would make a spaghetti sauce. She made her spaghetti sauce in a slow cooker because my mom worked 3 jobs. Then my mom would blanch, before we knew what blanching was, spaghetti noodles and have them
it.
In the fridge with not olive oil. She used Mazola because we didn't have a lot of money. And the noodles were in the fridge, and all we had to do is microwave it or take the crock pot meat out and put it over top of the noodles. Well, what inspired me the most about my mom doing this was that spaghetti sauce was inherited from her mother that died when she was 13.
Ugh.
My mom at 13 years old, when her mother died, had to learn how to cook for her dad. Because her dad, of course, in 1961, never made a damn meal in his life and didn't know what the hell he was doing in the kitchen. So my mom, out of no choice, became a cook. And she also learned that this spaghetti recipe can be turned into sloppy joes the next day because what's in it? Tomatoes,
right. And beef,
meat,
thyme,
done. Sugar, salt, all these things. And then the next day, she'd take that same meat mixture and she'd turn around and make chili hot dogs, or she'd make a casserole or 3 or 4 other things. And I said, I wonder how many ingredients I can do with one ingredient. Now, that one ingredient could be a can of chickpeas.
Mm-hmm.
How many different things can I do with a can of chickpeas? Or let's just be real. Costco's selling 50 million chickens a day for $4.99 that are by one farmer that they do support and pay a lot of money to them. Why don't I do 5 recipes with that one rotisserie chicken that we all love so much that we can pick up at the store? So from there, 1-5 was spawned, and it was a bestseller now 3 years, and I'm in the process of writing my second book now.
Fantastic. I am going to get it. And I did buy an Instapot, and I'm slaying it, but in a bad way. I don't know how the hell to use it. So, and then my husband, did you read all the directions? Well, no, but how hard could it be?
No, you're Scorpio.
No, right?
You took it out of the box, you threw the damn box away, and then you're like, wait, this doesn't just do it?
And then
and
then the little steam, and then I scalded myself, and now it's in the pantry. So we'll just,
throw it away.
Right.
You know what? I'm going to tell you this now.
I've
been friends for 27 and a half minutes.
Right.
You're never going to use it.
You're right.
Throw it away.
You're right.
Actually, re-gift it to somebody.
I'll scrape the rice schmutz off the side and pass it along.
You actually won't even probably do that.
No, I won't. I'll give it to, you're right. But it's actually recorded here. Okay. The Today Show. They make it look so casual and so off the cuff when really true or false, a lot of that is quite scripted to look that off the cuff and fun and, spontaneous. Yes or no?
No. Savannah Guthrie really can't cook. Hoda Kotb has learned how to cook through doing TV for 11 years.
All right. And Megyn Kelly, she wanted to know what a Dutch oven was, and I'm dying to know if you had even the smallest desire to go south and inappropriate with the Dutch oven discussion with Megyn Kelly.
She is hot, but I didn't think about telling her that. I was, Megyn, everybody has their paths, and, you can say what you want to say, and whoever's listening likes her or doesn't like her. I was there the day that Megyn lost her job.
Oh.
So she made that comment the day before, and then I was on with Gary Busey the next day, talking about some weird crap in the hallway to talk about. I've done the Today Show almost 200 times. This year, I'll have done it 200 times.
Wow, that's awesome.
I've been on with everybody. I mean, everybody. Willie's a friend of mine. Savannah's a friend of mine. Kathy Lee, I was invited to her going away party the other day. I mean, I have cultivated relationships with these people because I'm feeding them through food. So
right.
I announced my daughter, my wife and I having our daughter on TV. I announced I was getting married on the Today Show. I mean, I've done it all on the Today Show. I was there when Hoda met her boyfriend. I was there when Frank died with Kathy Lee. I was there when Kathy Lee's mom died. I was there. I've done that show so many times that they're my family. The producers are my family. So I will say this, and a lot of people ask me this all the time, how do you do the recipes that you do on the Today Show? Today Show has amazing producers. Jackie Olinsky, Yasiya, the people I've been working with for a decade now. We're smart enough today with this tech, the way tech is driven, that we're trending. So I'm already talking about what I'm going to do next month, and we're looking at the seasons. We're looking at what people are buying. And Jackie will send me 4 or 5 ideas. I sit down with my writer on the phone. She's based out of San Diego. And her and I come up with ideas, and then we build recipes for them. And 99.9% of these recipes, I say, if my mom can't do it, I won't cook it on TV. Because my mom is retired.
Mm-hmm.
She likes green beans in a bag that are already snipped off. She likes quinoa in the freezer that she has to microwave it.
Right.
If the chicken thighs or the skin's not off of it, it's too hard for her. So we try to write for everybody. And, I'm writing a baking book. I talk about making an easy baking book for people. That's a challenge. So the Today Show is real. It's been absolute honor. The crack-ups, the jokes. Have I been drunk on that show? Sure.
Oh, awesome.
Who has it? Who doesn't? Wine is really being poured. I remember it was Martina McBride was covering for Kathy Lee one time, and it was Hoda and I were on. And it was Hoda's birthday. It was actually Martina's birthday. And I found out that she didn't drink. So I hid 3 shots of tequila underneath the counter. And halfway through the demo, I'm like, Martina, it's your birthday. Pull it out. Do you think she's going to say no to it on national television? No. We took
Shame on
shots.
You.
And I made Martina McBride. I saw Martina a couple months ago, and I reminded her I did that. She's like, oh, my God, I totally remember that.
God.
It's funny. They're all great. Al Roker is the most amazing human being, the most witty person. Willie Geitz is so damn smart. Carson Daly, love beer. I mean, they're just all great. They're my family.
Well, this makes me happy because I watch them every morning, and I love hearing that they're actual real people. Here's your lightning round.
Do it.
Your go-to guilty pleasure that people would be appalled to know that you enjoy eating?
Pizza and ranch dressing.
God, love ya. My producer's groaning. What do you
Shut up, producer.
Shut up, producer! What do you do when people recognize you? Are you a douchebag? Are you nice? Do you, don't bother me. I'm on my private time. What do you do?
Let me tell you what happened. My wife leaves. So
your wife leaves?
My wife leaves because I will literally stand there until you're done talking. I will talk to you until you're gray in the face.
Oh.
I am honored when people stop me, and I get stopped a lot. some days it's like 50 and some days it's one. And I would be happy to stop, talk, take photo all day long, hug all day long.
Oh.
And I finally stopped kissing old ladies on the lips because I get sick too much. But otherwise, that's it.
Yeah. Apparently, you only have 4.5 hours when you're not busy and you supposedly sleep. But if you were to have time to have fun, what would you do?
I would have my feet in the beach in Maui. We stay in a little town called Napili, which is right before you get to Kapalua.
Uh-huh.
And I have a little place that I rent every year there. I put my feet on the beach. I turn my phone off, and I drink pale ale from Maui Brewing Company. And I get sunburned really badly, even though I have a fake tan, and you can't see it. You're burnt.
Good to know. And one last question. When you have your spray tan, Ryan, Chef Scott, how early prior to the tan do you exfoliate and wax?
Well, waxing is a whole other conversation we can talk about. Yes, I get my eyebrows done. But let's see here. Exfoliating a couple hours before is totally fine. And we just lost all of your fan base.
That's right.
Thank
gone.
You. Everybody, you can follow me on Instagram at Chef Ryan Scott. I do answer DMs, not after 2 a.m. Also on Twitter, you can find me at Chef Ryan Scott. And you can check me out at Ryan Scott Enterprises. I do a lot of demos. I'm doing 91 cities this year across the state. I'm in Los Angeles on Tuesday night. Do an amazing dinner. So we do meet and greets. We do all of it. And there's a lot more television coming from me. So I'm excited to do it. And let's hang out and let's do round two.
Chef Ryan Scott, you're the best.
I want to see your producer's face now.
Thank you, dear. Take care.
Hopefully you enjoyed it.
I was the best. Thank you.